And so would you turn with me to the book of Isaiah, the 55th chapter. All right, let me ask you just to close your eyes a moment. I'm going to just obey the Lord here. Just close your eyes and put your mind on the Lord. Just put your mind and your heart on Him. I want you to lay everything else aside, every other care, the concern about what time it is or when the service is going to be over, how long He's going to preach, what is the Lord going to do tonight, what am I doing here? Perhaps somebody's asking that question. What's my husband going to say when I get home? What do I have to do tomorrow morning? I want you to lay all those things aside. I want you to think about nothing but the Lord. If you came here for anything else, you're going to be sadly disappointed. But if you came here to touch Jesus, you'll not go away unsatisfied. I promise you that. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father, full of mercy and grace, Thou art welcome in this place. Ho, every one that thirsteth. Ho, say now, every one that thirsteth. Now there are some thirsty people here tonight, I know that, or the Spirit of the Lord would not have this passage of Scripture ministered. I don't know what you're thirsty for, but I do know that there are some thirsty men and women in this auditorium tonight. We're going to find out before the evening is over, by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, who's thirsty and what for. And what's more important, those of you who are thirsty will have an opportunity to take a deep, satisfying drink. Now, if you're thirsty and you know it, you're halfway there. You be prepared for the invitation to drink. If you're thirsty and don't know it, listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit and let Him minister to you tonight. I can tell you from my own personal experience that for almost 40 years I was thirsty. I was so dry, thirsty, I didn't even know it. I didn't realize it until I got close to the water. And I saw that cool, clear water. I saw the beautiful pool that was the Lord. I saw other people splashing around in it. I saw them throwing themselves into the water. I saw them drinking deeply of the living water. And I got so thirsty that I had to have some. My prayer is that if you have never jumped lock, stock, and barrel into the water, that you'll do so tonight. I want you to be so thirsty that wild horses couldn't hold you away. Now that's my prayer. And if you're hesitant, I want you to know right now, I'm praying against that hesitancy. I'm praying against that backward pull against you. Why? Because God Almighty Himself by the Holy Ghost gives you invitation. Ho, everyone who thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Come on, he said. Come to the waters. Come on, you come. One thing I have found out about God He sends the rain upon the grass and upon the fields and upon the forests. He sends the rain upon the just and the unjust alike. But he does not throw his living water around willy-nilly. The living water that God gives is available to whomsoever wants it, but the invitation is come. The invitation is never stay where you are and I'll come there and douse you in it. No, the invitation is here's the water, come and throw yourself in. Why is it that so few ever really enjoy the blessings of God? Why is it that so few of a world of millions, billions of people, why are so few born again? Why are so few saved? Why have so few sipped of the living water? Because only a few will come. Of the millions who are Christians, of the millions who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, who have been born again and become new creatures, why are so few of them having rivers of living water flowing from them? Because so few have been willing to come to the waters. I read the story in the New Testament, the stories in the New Testament, you do too. I read the story about the woman who had the issue of blood. Do you remember the story in the Gospel of Mark? And she'd had this issue of blood for 12 years. This woman had a 12-year long hemorrhage. She had done everything she knew how to do. She had labored long and hard with the physicians, and she had spent everything that she had on the doctors. And she was, according to God's word, none better, but rather was made worse. And she heard about this man who had some living water. His name was Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And she said, if I may but just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And she came out of her dwelling on the day that Jesus was in an area where she could reach him. And in her unclean condition, she came out of her dwelling into the crowd where he was, and she pressed through the press of the crowd to touch the hem of his garment. And as she touched him, the power flew. The scripture says, Jesus, perceiving that virtue had gone out of him, said, who touched me? Who touched me? The disciples thought he was mad. Who touched you with this crowd and everybody milling around? Why, a lot of people touched you. No, only one person touched me. Only one person touched. Now, others had contact with me, but only one person came to the water. And she got herself healed. She was not going to be denied. Wild horses couldn't keep her away. I remember the story of Peter, the apostle. And Peter had come under ridicule. Down at the temple, all the guys at the temple were ridiculing Peter and said, you big religious guys, but your boss, your master, your rabbi, he doesn't even pay the temple tax, the half shekel tax. And Peter went running to Jesus and said, what do we do, master? They're talking about us down there that we don't pay our taxes. And Jesus said, I'll tell you what you do. You go down to the seashore and throw your hook in. And a fish will come up on that hook. And when you bring the fish out, you open his mouth, and inside will be our tax money. And sure enough, Peter did. He went to where Jesus told him to go. He threw his hook in the water. A fish got on that hook, and when the fish came out, he put his finger in his mouth, and out he pulled one shekel, half for him and half for Jesus, just enough to pay the tax. The prophet Isaiah, long, long time before Jesus was manifested, gave the invitation, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. First of all, you can't buy. The water that God has, it's priceless. You can't buy it with money because there's no price on it. And it doesn't require any money. Now, some of you are sitting here, and some of you have a pocket full. Don't you? Some of you? Does anybody here have a pocket full of money? Some of you here have a little bit. Anybody have a little bit? Let me see if you have a little bit. All right. Does anybody here have none? Let me see your hands if you have none. There's a couple, sure. A couple honest ones. You see, it matters not how much money you have in your pocket, whether you're going to receive from the Lord. The invitation is come and take. Take it without money and without price. You don't need any money. You can't buy it with money, and you don't need any to have some. As I was looking at this, as I was looking at this verse, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me something about this, about what He is offering here. Come to the waters, buy wine and milk without money and without price. And I remember it having read somewhere in the Scripture that wine was given by God to gladden the heart of man. Now, I'm not advising, you know, you go out and buy yourself a bunch of wine and drink. You know how I feel about that. I preached on that. But the symbolism here, and it's Psalm 104:15, if you want to look that up. The symbolism here is that the water that Jesus Christ gives will gladden your heart. It's like wine to make joyful a heart. And it's like milk to nourish you spiritually. The prophet says, if you're thirsty, come on, leave your wallet outside and come to the water and just buy from me without money and without price wine to gladden your heart, fullness of joy, and milk to give you spiritual nourishment. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now, I don't know about those of you who are here tonight. I do know about myself. I know that for almost 40 years, I spent all my labor, all my effort, and all my money for bread that did not satisfy. I spent everything I had on things that did not satisfy the thirst that was in my heart. How about you? Inside, every person is athirst for the things of God. And there's nothing that will satisfy that with the exception of the water that He gives, the living water that He gives. Nothing else will satisfy. I know people, and so do you, who have spent fortunes on houses, on cars, on hobbies, all kinds of fancy and expensive hobbies. All you have to do is pick up the newspaper and you read about them. You read about the jet set. You read about the, what do they call them, the up and outers? The people, one day they've got a hot rod, the next day they've got a motorcycle, the next day they've got a speed boat, the next day they've got a string of racehorses, the next day they've got their private airplane, the next day they've got something else, and the next day they wind up putting a bullet in their head. Why? Because they labored and spent everything they had for that which does not satisfy. Now, I'm going to give you another example now, and you listen to this one carefully. I know Christians, born-again Christians, and so do you, who spend all of their labor for that which does not satisfy, and not knowing that all they have to do is come to the living water and take a drink. And let me explain to you what I mean. Churches are full of well-meaning Christians who have been born again, who have received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, have the Spirit of God in them in a well, springing up into everlasting life, according to John chapter 4, but are filling their lives with making chicken salad sandwiches, sewing bandages for overseas, nothing wrong with those things now, ushering, teaching Sunday school, mowing the grass, doing all kinds of good works in the church, but never, never, never satisfied. Spending all of their labor for that which does not meet their need. And the invitation of God is, come to the water. Take a drink. Let somebody else make the chicken salad sandwiches and come and get a drink of the living water. I know others who are sick, desperately sick. Just like the woman who had the issue of blood. Laboring, spend everything they have to buy healing. Chemotherapy, radiation treatment, surgery. Nothing wrong with any of those things. Please do not misunderstand me. The invitation of God is, ho! Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters and buy without money and without price. Now hear me. Hear me. This is the invitation of God to have your need satisfied. If you're thirsty, come and get a drink. Why do you labor for that which satisfieth not? Why do you work and struggle for that which does not meet your need? Why spend your entire life and your entire effort laboring and working for that which does not meet your need? And every night you go to bed unsatisfied. Every night you go to bed and you wonder, what is it all about? Every night you go to bed and you wonder, what am I doing this for anyway? Why? Why? I hear the Spirit of God in my spirit crying out that question, why? Hearken diligently unto me, listen, he said, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. The promises that I made to David to bless him, I make also to you. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God. And for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I believe that many of us miss it right there, that we think that we can do it our own way, when God has established very clear ways for us to receive from him. And because we're unwilling to do it his way, and want to do it our own, we don't get the results. He says, come to the water. Don't bring your money. Don't bring your good works. Don't bring your good looks. Don't bring anything. Just come and drink. But Pastor, I don't see any water there. Where is there water in this place except what's dripping off you? I don't see any water down here. I don't see any either. I don't see a pool of water right there. But I want you to know that before this night is out, there are some people in this auditorium that are going to hear the Spirit of God speaking to their spirits as I speak. And they're going to come right here and they're going to get a dunking in what you can't see. And some of you are going to sit there and say, I don't even know what was going on. Well, you won't know what's going on sitting back there because the water is where you come. Do you hear me? And somebody is going, some several people are going to get very good and wet right here with the water that God gives. And they're going to go home satisfied. But I've got to have some. The devil will be telling you, well, stay where you are. Stay where you are. Don't you get down here, you'll make a fool out of yourself. I've heard that one before too. But the Spirit of the Lord says, come. The Spirit of the Lord says, come to the water. The Spirit of the Lord says, don't bring your money and don't bring your good things, but just come. Just bring yourself and let me give you a drink that'll satisfy you. I want you to know I am satisfied. I am, if anybody wants to know, I am satisfied. I want the Lord to know I am satisfied. I am satisfied having drunk at His well. Our ways aren't His, and our thoughts aren't like His. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. I love that. I love that. That's the promise. When you drink at the Lord's well, you'll go out with joy. Now, I don't know what you think you've got, but if you haven't drunk at God's well, you don't have His joy. I mean drunk deeply. You'll go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. How many of you can relate to this? Perhaps it happened when you received Christ as your Savior and you felt the burden of sin roll off of you. Perhaps it happened to you on the day that you were filled with the Holy Spirit and out of your innermost being flowed out a tremendous, just rivers of living water. You just felt that outflow of the Holy Spirit and a tremendous joy just sprang up on the inside of you. And as for several days, perhaps weeks or months afterwards, you felt like everything was just joyful with you, that even the creation, even the trees were clapping their hands, flowers were so beautiful, you've never seen anything quite so gorgeous. You looked at people and you saw lights in people's faces, particularly other Christians, that you had never seen before, and it seemed like the whole world was just happy. It seemed like there was joy everywhere you looked. Do you remember that experience? That's what it's like when you drink of the living water from His well. It seems like the trees clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Now, if you don't know what a fir tree is, that's a good one. A thorn is a bad one, and a fir tree is a good one. And He says that when you drink from the water of the Lord, that instead of thorns in your life will come up good trees. And instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Now, I want you to turn with me, please. We're talking about water here and coming to the Lord's water. I want you to turn to John, the 4th chapter. I believe there are some people in the auditorium tonight that are born again, that know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They've trusted in Him to the saving of their soul, and they know that they have the gift of everlasting life, that you are satisfied that should you die tonight, now I lay me down to sleep, that if you die tonight, that you're going to go to be with the Lord. You're satisfied that you're saved. You're satisfied that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life and that your eternal salvation is secure. But you're still thirsty. You don't know exactly what it is, but you've said in your prayers, you've said to the Lord, there must be more than this. Surely, Lord, there's more to the Christian life than this. Surely there's something else. I believe the Lord wants to share that with you tonight. In John's Gospel, I believe He wants to answer that question specifically tonight. In John's Gospel, the 4th chapter, verse number 5. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. And then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said, If you knew who I was, you knew what I had, you would ask me to give you a drink. And when I give you to drink, I would give you living water. And when you receive this living water from me, that living water will be inside you like a well. And it will spring up on the inside of you and give you everlasting life. And the water in the Bible is a type of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is saying in the woman's language, in her natural language, that she will understand, if you'll ask of me, I will give you of my Spirit, and my Spirit will come inside you, and it will be in your spirit like a well, a repository of my Spirit, and it will give unto you the gift of everlasting life. That well will never run dry inside you. She said, Sir, that sounds like a good deal. I want some. Give me some of that water. Now, when you ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, when you ask him for a drink of this living water as an unbeliever, when you become a believer, he puts his Spirit inside you, and the Holy Spirit of God on the inside of you is like a well of water. If you're born again, the Spirit of God is inside your spirit as a well springing up unto everlasting life. And you have tasted of the living water. But Jesus, sometime later, in the 7th chapter of John's Gospel, tells the disciples about another experience with this living water. He says there's something else that is to come. Verse number 37, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Do you notice that again? Let him come. Let him come and request. Let him come and ask. I know what you need. I know what it is you want, but you can't have it unless you ask, unless you come. And drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, in other words, those who have believed on me, those who have trusted in me, those who have inside them this well of water welling up into everlasting life, for believers, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, if you think about that in the natural, and certain scurrilous gainsayers would look at that and say, that's the dumbest thing we've ever heard. Who wants water flowing out of a person's belly all the time? But see, they don't understand, they don't want to understand. The imagery that is used here is very common through the Bible, and when the belly is referred to in this in a context that is other than food zone, where you can naturally understand it to be the stomach, when the belly is referred to, it literally means a man's gut, his innermost being, in other words, his spirit. And so, if I was translating this, I would say out of his gut. Out of his innermost being, out of where he really lives, out of deep on the inside of his spirit shall flow rivers of living water. Out of this place where the well is, instead of having just a repository of the water there, I'm going to give them an experience that will cause that water to flow like rivers, continual flowing. The same living water, but instead of a well, it'll be a river. Now, how do we know that he's talking about the Holy Spirit? Because John said so in verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now, did that ever happen in the Bible? It sure did. It happened on the day of Pentecost. Turn with me to Acts and chapter number 1. Jesus is resurrected from the dead. He's been with his disciples 40 days, teaching them, preparing them for their ministry. And in the fourth verse of Acts chapter 1, Jesus gives his disciples a command. This particular verse of Scripture, along with Ephesians 5 and 18, was very important to me in receiving this experience myself. When I saw that Jesus gave command to his church, not request, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. 10 days later, it's recorded for us in the second chapter of the book of Acts, that on the tenth day, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and they were waiting for the promise that Jesus had given. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What Jesus was talking about in John chapter 7, verses 37, 8, and 9 is this very experience. He says, they that believe on me, out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living water. And John records, this spake he of the Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, the well that was established in them of the Holy Spirit because of their faith in Jesus Christ began to flow like rivers out of their mouth. And as they began to speak in an unknown language, the rivers of the Holy Spirit began to flow. In Jerusalem that day, after the word of God was preached, 3,000 souls came to a saving knowledge of Christ. In the 19th chapter of the book of Acts, it happened again. This is 20 years later. It happened hundreds of times in between. It happened in Acts chapter 8. It happened in Acts chapter 9. It happened in Acts chapter 10. And it happened here again in Acts chapter 19, 20 years after the day of Pentecost. And we can see with a careful reading of the book of Acts and also the Pauline letters that this particular experience was normal in the New Testament church. Verse number 6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, The Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. I found this in my own personal experience, and I'll just share this with you. Before I was born again, I was 37 years old before I was saved. I was a very active church member and church leader. I was not a pastor. I was very active and involved in the work of the church. I labored diligently in the Lord's work, but I was never satisfied. I never had a sense of satisfaction. One of the things that always bothered me in the way that the Lord kept me uneasy, I guess I could say, is that every time I heard a person give their personal testimony, I was very uneasy at that. Somebody would talk about how they met Jesus and the change in their life, and something inside of me would just tension. Something was wrong. I didn't know what it was. There was a terrible fear in me that anybody would ever ask me for my testimony. And I realized I didn't have one. When I was a young boy, I had gone to my pastor and I asked him when I would hear people talking about the meeting the Lord and the wonderful experiences that they had with Christ, and my pastor patted me on the head and he'd say, "Now, son, everybody doesn't have a mountaintop experience like that." And he was right as far as he went, but he didn't lead me to Jesus. He didn't show me how to take a drink of the water. He didn't invite me to come. He said, "You're all right. You're born in a Christian home. Your parents are Christians. You've made a profession of faith in Christ. Everything's fine." But it wasn't. And it never was. Until the day that I made Jesus the Lord of my life, and not in these words, but I asked him for a drink of his living water. And he gave me a drink. And it was in me a well springing up into everlasting life. And I knew that I was different. I knew that I'd had a drink. And I was, in a sense, satisfied. And perhaps you've had that experience as well. And for a period of time, you have been very satisfied. Maybe for a few years, maybe for a few months, maybe for a long time you've been satisfied. But something is stirring on the inside of you, and you're not completely satisfied. You know that there's something more. You don't know what it is, but you know you want it. If you're like me, what you want is the rivers. I'll tell you that when you get the rivers flowing, you'll be satisfied. Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, the 5th chapter and the 6th verse, "Blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness, for he shall be filled." And that word "filled" in the Greek literally means gorged. All you can handle. Now, until you are filled with God's Spirit, you'll not be satisfied. You'll never have that sense of satisfaction that you long for. You'll never have the fullness of joy that you long for. You'll watch other believers and they are so happy. Gee, they seem to have so much joy. I wish I could feel like that. You can. You can. All that means is that you're thirsty. It doesn't mean that God's chosen somebody over you. It only means that you're thirsty. That's all. And then I refer you to Isaiah 55 and 1. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters." Well, where are the waters? Well, tonight they're right here. Because this is where the Lord has ordained where it should be. I mean, it doesn't have to be here, but this is where he says it is tonight. As an expression of faith, you come to the waters. You come and get a drink. What is it that you're thirsty for tonight? The invitation is given to everybody in Revelation chapter number 22 and verse number 17. This is the scripture which the Lord gave us 4 years ago when he named this work. "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. That's what I hear the Spirit saying tonight. He's been saying it all afternoon to me. Come. The Holy Spirit is saying, come. The bride, the church of Jesus Christ, that's me and all the rest of these people who know Jesus as Savior. We're saying, come. Come on. This water is for everybody. It's not just for a few. It's for everybody. God wants every person to have a drink, to drink deeply of it, and to be satisfied. Come. The Holy Spirit says, come. The church says, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. How many of you fall into the whosoever category? Let me see your hands if you're a whosoever. Now think about that. If you're a whosoever, put your hands up, leave them there now. If you're a whosoever, put your hand in the air. If you're a whosoever. All right? Now, if your hand was in the air, this invitation is for you. If you don't know what a whosoever is, you've been sleeping. You haven't been following me. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. I have been oft times in my ministry frustrated because I have been unable to give to people sometimes what I know they need. Oftentimes when you're ministering to a person, particularly an individual in a one-on-one situation, the Lord will show you what that person needs. And I used to get so frustrated because I couldn't seem to get it delivered. I couldn't seem to get what the person needed into their life, oftentimes, too often. And it used to really frustrate me. It used to bug me. And I came under condemnation because of it. I began to feel like there's something wrong with me, that I can't get it to them. I can't get this what they need into their life. Until the Lord ministered to me this truth, that my responsibility as His child was two things. One, to stay full of the living water at all times. To keep my life overflowing with this wonderful living water, to stay full of it all the time so that I was always ready to give, to never let my life get to a place where I didn't have some water to give, then I would stay full of it. That's responsibility number one. And the way I stay full is keep the river flowing. And the second thing He told me I was to do was to show people how to open up the faucet and drink. And He showed me a picture of a garden hose. I wasn't too crazy about being likened to a garden hose, but it got the point across. And the hose had its origin in heaven. And on the end of it was a nozzle with a spigot. And He said, you are that hose. You stay full of the water at all times. And when a person comes and wants a drink, you show them how to open the faucet and how to drink. But you can't open the faucet for them, but you can't make them drink. There have been times when I have taken a person's head and I have opened a faucet and I've shoved their mouth right up in the faucet, so to speak. And some of you have done the same. And all I got was a person choking. I've had them to where I would reach out and open up the faucet like this, and the water would just be running out on the end, and they would reach up and shut it off again. In the spirit. You understand what I mean? They just reach up and just shut it right off. And I've come to find out that if Jesus couldn't shove this water down somebody's throat, then I'm not going to be able to do it either. But I know also this, that if you're thirsty tonight, if you're thirsty, now hear me carefully, if you are thirsty, there is enough water here to float the Queen Mary. And then some. And you can drink to your satisfaction. Isaiah, the 12th chapter, we sing the song, therefore with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. There's more water here than you can ever use. And God Almighty, the one who made heaven and earth, the one who put breath in your lungs, and for those of you who are born again and know Jesus, the one that put life in your spirit, is saying to you through these clay lips, if you're thirsty, you come and get a drink. You just come and take whatever you want. You just come and get a drink of the water. If you need a drink like the woman at the well at Samaria, the Samaritan woman, if you've never tasted of the living water, come and just get enough to get saved. Just get that much. If that's all you can handle, just get that much. If you've got a little thirst, come and get a little bit. When you taste of it, you'll get more thirsty. If you're here tonight and the Lord has caused a great thirst to well up in you, you want those rivers to flow that we've been talking about. I believe there's several of you here tonight that want that. There's plenty of water here for that. If you have been spending all of your money and all of your labors for that which does not satisfy in the physical world, for something that's physically wrong with your body, I want you to remember the woman that had the 12-year-long hemorrhage. I want you to remember that she pushed her way through the crowd to get to the fountain of living water that she might have a drink. And when she got a drink, the fountain of her blood was staunched. It quit. And she was satisfied. The invitation of the Lord tonight is come. The guarantee and the promise of the Lord is that you'll go out with joy and with peace. That He will satisfy you. Now I speak that promise with confidence. He has satisfied me. And He'll also satisfy you. In my heart, the Holy Spirit is just, I've just got to say it. Come. Come. Come to the waters. Just come. Don't bring any money. Don't worry about bringing anything. You just bring a simple childlike faith and come. Just come to the water. There's an ample supply. There's more than enough to meet your need. And I sense the Spirit of the Lord saying, I long to fill you with this living water. I want to fill your life to overflowing with the living water. I want to satisfy the longing of your soul. Would you bow your heads, please?